Russ has been talking to you about some of the things we're going to be thinking about this coming season, this year. Do you remember what the theme was? Anybody remember the... Okay, excellent. Yes. I haven't talked to Russ, so I don't know all the details of what he's got, but just the word excellent itself has a lot that will be very challenging and very interesting, I think. And that's the kinds of things that keep us viable in the church and in our faith in Jesus Christ. So we'll talk a little bit about that this morning, my view and what I see as this kind of a thing. And I'm not sure exactly where this is going to go. Last week I said I'm hoofing it, but I meant I was winging it. You all laughed. I've got the subject, but I don't know just which direction it might go. I want you to turn first to Philippians 1:10. Philippians 1:10. Somebody read that for me. Now I'm reading. Go ahead, Mike.
So that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ.
Okay, this is Paul's writing to the Philippians. He's encouraging them, and he has a lot of good things to say about the Philippians. But in that, he's saying, for them to approve of the things excellent. What's he talking about? Now, you can read that in context, but if you were given those instructions, what direction would you take? What would you do to approve of the things that are excellent? You don't want this to be a lecture, do you? Gotta get your thinkers on. I have no idea. Let's go on. You didn't help me at all. Chuck? Sure. Okay. And excellence here has excel in it, too. I don't know if that's significant. But it has the word excel in there. But it means of the things of more value. Seek the things of, or approve the things of more value. And that's what we're going to be doing. I think that's what Russ has in mind. We're going to be looking at those things. There's an exercise that you can perform instead of New Year's resolutions. I don't know of anybody that's doing that much anymore. Maybe somebody does. I never did. I can't remember ever making a New Year's resolution. But there's an exercise that you could go through that might help for this coming year. And you got, for this to work, you got to be very honest to yourself. Okay? Very honest. You can't lie. Can't be deceiving to yourself. You can't have those little things that you would like it to be when you imagine yourself somewhere or another. So you've got to be very honest. And this is to make a list. Make a list of, say, 10 items. 10 things in your life that is of great value to you. I'm not asking you to quote scripture. I'm talking about looking at you. You see? What is real valuable in your life? Just 10 items randomly put down on a sheet. And if you really do that, instead of a resolution, anyway, something like that that you may not keep, I think you'll learn something about yourself. Now, you can You can do this secretively. You don't have to share it with anybody. So you can put anything down there, just as long as you be honest. Okay? This is an exercise. You got to be honest about it. And then when you view it in writing, it's down there in writing, those kinds of things have you to think. This has worked for me. I had the inmates out of prison do this. And when I get back there next time meeting with them, I think we're going to go through this and see if any of them want to share what they put down. Of course, we think, or should be thinking, God's thoughts, shouldn't we? Those ideas of what God means and what He wants and what He expects. And that list maybe should go together. But this is the idea: you have to be honest. Because unless you're honest, you're not going to create the condition for change. See? That's the idea. And I guarantee you, if you study the Scriptures, God wants you to be honest. There's a lot to say in the Scriptures about being truthful, about with yourself, with everyone else, your neighbor. And it's not about just telling little fibs, little lies. It's being transparent before God. That's it. And that's what we're trying to achieve. Okay, let's look at another scripture. Ephesians 5:1. Ephesians 5:1. And it depends on the translation you have. But I'll point out the word that I want you to observe and look at and think about here. Somebody read Ephesians 5:1.
Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children.
Okay, you got the right translation. He's got the good one. No, I'm just kidding, of course. But it's got the word that I want, and that's, it says, be imitators of God. Now think about this, class. Think about this. Paul didn't say be imitators of Jesus, did he? Now, Jesus has a lot to do with it, because Jesus was with us in the flesh. And we observe and think about everything about Jesus. We see Him in our mind as a man. And of course, He has a lot to teach us about God. He says all these things that we know about in the Gospels and all this. But Paul says here for you to be imitators of God. I think that is a phrase that's out of this world. You got to think about that one, don't you? Gotta think about it. Now, some of the translation says followers. I don't know about your translation. You can look at it. But really, in the Greek, original Greek, it's better translated, the Greek word, and I'm not going to, I can't anyway, but that Greek word, as I understand it, it means literally imitator, not follower. Those are closely associated, but it's better translated imitator. We can imagine that, how you imitate somebody. Now, Paul, in its essence, it's not talking about hypocritical. It's not talking about acting. You see? It's talking about really imitating God. Let's talk about that a little bit. Turn to Genesis. Genesis 1:26-27. Somebody read that to me. And we're going to see how we can spark this idea of excellence in our lives more and prepare for this coming year and thinking about all of this in our lives. And what does that say? Somebody read it for me. Genesis 1:26-27. Go ahead, Judy.
And God sent Noah to make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth up on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Okay, what was the activity of God here? What was the activity? Creation. He was being created. Now, I'm preaching and teaching. I've said an awful lot about what we are in the image of God. And there's really no real explanation for this verse. And it doesn't say, now this is exactly what Moses was talking about when he said this, how you are literally in the image of God. You have to wade all the way through the scriptures and you'll get an idea of what that's all about. But we do know something we're very sure about this. That we're different than the rest of the creation that God made. We're different from the animals. I think some people in this world have a hard time making a difference. But there's assurance in that we somehow are very different in intelligence and all these things that we go on and think about. But I know one thing that is very much in our lives that makes us special. God is a creator. Is he not? He created us in his image, and that makes us very creative. It's logical, isn't it? Isn't that just reasoning? If the creator makes us in his image, we're going to be creative. Now, we can certainly point to mankind and point this out. All the things that we enjoy, all your little iPads and computers and all these things that you enjoy in your life have all been in the mind of some engineer, some person thinking about and creating, and he had to do that by stepping out of the box or it would have never happened. It wouldn't happen. It's still been, according to the scientists, it's still been in the primitive state, which I don't think we ever were. You can't be created in someone's image and be primitive. So we have this idea of being in God's image. Now, I want to point out to you that I think and believe fully every last one of us in here, everyone in the body of the church, everyone that is, that God has made, is a creative person. Now we're asking let's excel, let's be excellent. Let's look at things that are of more value in our lives this year, this coming up. And I think in doing that, every one of us have the capacity and can be creative. And I think that's what the elders are really asking of you. When we talk to Russ and asking him about his ideas of these things, and we say, that sounds great, Russ. I think all the elders, though, and looking at this and saying, yes, that's a good thing to pursue this year, we're all thinking that you have the capacity in your own life to be creative. You don't have to leave it up to us. And you might be saying to yourself, my life is rather mundane. Sure, it's full of challenges. I get up every day and there's stresses and I go to work and there's problems and sometimes I have a life that is very relaxing and it goes smooth. but it's mostly a roller coaster. And who can be excellent? Who can be creative in this? And I say, shut up. Say that. Shut up, brain. Quit that. Don't go in that direction. Turn around and go the other direction. Because it isn't true. It is absolutely not true. Shirley knows something of creativity. She's into this thing of drama and writing scripts and things like that for drama. I like to paint, and I like to get back and look at that painting I just did and look at it more and more. It begins to look like, gee, he's a vain person. Admiring his work. I like to record songs on the guitar. Nobody else likes to listen to them. But I listen to them and say, wow, who can just... What do you get out of that? Well, it's the creativity that's in there. And what I do, I'm not just admiring that painting as I get back and look at it. It's not admiration. It's did I really do that? Did that just happen? That's what I'm saying. I can't believe out of that paint came that. Colorful, and it looks almost like it's supposed to, you know, that sort of a thing. That's creativity. Hundreds of things. Cooking. Doing that sort of a thing. Even into the mode of housekeeping, running a home, going to your job, all these things. Opportunities for creativity. And we can do that this year. You can, but you got to be in the mode, in that creative mode.
Outreach and evangelism is always an exercise to do.
Yeah, that's right.
As I can tell it, everything I've ever seen, you're trying to think about what the world finds interesting, but at the same time not dilute the truth
of
the Word of God as you present it. And to connect those two things together is a master, I think, in creative effort.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Russ is not here. I've known Russ for a long time. And he's very good at this.
Yes, he is.
As I'm sure many are. But to me, you're talking about creativity. And that's, I think that's one of the reasons we have any attribute we have to God. Is an effort to share his resources with the world.
Amen. You just led me right into it.
I'm sorry, I didn't read your notes.
That's fine. it just... Been in there beautifully. You know, there's guys out of prison there. I speak, and another guy speaks the following week, and it's amazing how things tie together. They generally have something to say just before I speak. We haven't even discussed, talked about anything, and here you step back and you look at this again. You see, why is that happening? Of course, creativity comes from God. Okay, what do I have here? Huh? You're right. It's an M&M with a peanut in it. I grabbed this out of the candy bowl as I came this morning. That's what it is. You recognize that, though this doesn't have an M on it. I'm not sure. Yes, it does. It has an M on it, so this is genuine. This is genuine. But you know, that little thing right there is much more than we see. I'm not going mad. I'm talking about creativity now. I'm not going crazy. But if you could get down on the atomic level of this, it's moving. It's really, it's moving. It's alive. It's as if it's alive. It has energy that's going on. Let me show you. It has energy within it, down on the atoms side. And you know, the atoms, though they're exchanging something, electrons and things that make it this, there's space even in between them. Doesn't look like there's any space there, does it? But in between those atoms is space. And it's sort of like I'm talking about the universe, isn't it? And down on this level, it's a universe. Can't imagine that, can you? But our creativity, man has taken hold of that and unfortunately made hydrogen bombs and things out of the knowledge of these kinds of things. And when I was in school, they were promising us that atomic energy, we were going to have all this cheap electric stuff and live well because of it. Well, that's sort of gone by the wayside, though we do have atomic energy plants. It's very hard to get more of them going through all the red tape and so forth. So it hasn't really affected us that much in our life like it was supposed to, that creative knowledge of the atom, you see. But think about this. How big is your God? Just think. I won't say your God. Just how big is God? How big is God? Can you answer? What do you think about it? See how your creative mind can go, and you can start thinking about things out of the box and begin looking. These kinds of things that you think about, like you were saying, can be very interesting to someone that you're trying to lead to Christ, whether it be a scientist major or something in school or whatever's happening. This part could be very interesting. So it's a creative way to get the attention of somebody. Okay, how big is God? Let's look at a current theory. If you don't mind the science, all the ladies will go to sleep. That's what Linda said. She said she slept through science. And she did that because the science teachers were all coaches. Who didn't give them science, gave them ball plays, football. So, it happens. I know, I've been there. Okay, current knowledge. And I want you to think about, this is literal. A literal theory based up on some facts that we've learned. So I'm talking about relative size now, okay? Not this little thing here compared to the universe, all right? I'm talking about literal size. My hand with this. The current theory about the universe is that it began even bigger than this. I mean, smaller than this. It began even smaller than this. Right? Somehow, it is down to an infinite size. There's nothing there. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, 1 and 2, by the way. And you'll see, this is a scientific theory here, but it never amazes me why scientists can just skip over things. But here it is. This has an infinite small thing. Now, you can see me relative to this. I can do a lot with this little ball, can't I? With me relative to this. I can eat it. I can squash it. Because, you see, I'm in control right now of this. How big is God? In the spirit, there is no size. I don't think God has no size. In the flesh, is Jesus Christ. You see? But in the spirit, there's no size. So we always think about the universe, the creative God, as one who or how can a God create something the size of the universe? You can't even think about the size of it. It is so large, so out of the realm of anything relative to us, we can't even consider it, its size. And yet we think of a being that created this. How could it even be large enough? I just gave you a little bit of an idea how this can work, didn't I? And we're talking about this as a universe in itself, size-wise. Well, God created a universe. And what did that verse say? Second verse particularly. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Somebody read that to me. Three, four and three.
By faith we understand that the world is framed by the word of God, so that the things which are true do not make things which are written.
Okay. Did you hear that third verse? That's our faith. That's our theory. There's where we come from. The scientists aren't coming from there, but are they? Are they? I want you to read, listen to this scientific paper here. Okay, I think you'll be able to see something in there. We're talking about creativity here. We're talking about God made us in His image, and we have this abilities, these kinds of abilities in our own nature, that we can work with God and do this like a level that God has been working on and doing all the time. It's just as alive and moving as energy as this that I just explained. Everything is moving. Everything is on its way somewhere, including you and I. We're on our way somewhere. Sometimes we feel like we're stalemated, that we're stalled out, but it's not true. Not true. God is working in our lives. You heard of the Big Bang Theory, didn't you? Here's what this writer says. The Big Bang Theory is an effort to explain what happened at the very beginning of the universe. Discoveries in astronomy and physics have shown beyond a reasonable doubt that our universe did in fact have a beginning. Duh. Okay. Prior to that moment, there was nothing. Duh, again. You see, they're beginning to get over where we are, aren't they? I don't know why it's so much trouble to say God, but during and after that moment, there was something. Our universe. The Big Bang Theory is an effort to explain what happened during and after that moment. According to the standard theory, our universe sprang into existence as singularity around 13.7 billion years ago. What is a singularity? And where does it come from? Well, to be honest, we don't know for sure. Singularities are zones which defy our current understanding of physics. They are thought to exist at the core of black holes. Black holes are areas of intense gravitational pressure. The pressure is thought to be so intense that finite matter is actually squished into infinite density, a mathematical concept which truly boggles the mind. These zones of infinite density are called singularities. Our universe is thought to have begun as an infinitesimally small, infinitely hot, infinitely dense something. A singularity. Where did it come from? We don't know. Why did it appear? We don't know. Turn to Acts chapter 17. Did I have you read the last one? Did I? It's age. I'm going somewhere. Believe me, I am. I am going somewhere. Acts 17. Paul says that this has always fascinated me, and I've thought about it creatively over and over again, thinking about this and toying with this idea of the simple phrase of the Apostle Paul talking to these people in his day and time about God. This God that they had erected a monument to that was the unknown God. And look what he says. We'll just, what time is it? We're running out of time probably. But look particularly in the 28th verse. And just remember what I just read, okay? Remember what I just read. Were you listening? Are you listening to that? The singularity? The singularity? Now listen to these words. It says, "For in Him," who is Him? In God. "For in God we live and move and have our being. As also some of your poets have said, for we are also His offspring." Isn't that an interesting statement? Is it just poetic? Is it scientifically factual? Is it theory? Is it some way of expressing a point that we want to get across? Is it literal? Is it literal? Now, when I said this is the universe, you might think of it as material, as matter. You can see matter. You get down to the very dust that you're made from, that God created you from, the dust of the earth. You become a part of the stars, even. Isn't that amazing? But in this theory that we're talking about, not only is the matter there, we're talking about the space in which the matter exists. We're not talking about just the matter. We're talking about the universe and the space, which is much more space than there is matter, according to the science. But this, in the level of God's creation, includes that. Now, what is outside of that? What is that? What would it be? Well, Paul just expressed it here. He just expressed it in a way that we cannot understand. Sure, there is no way that we can relate or comprehend this, but Paul said it in so many words. It is so simple and so easy for us to think about that we live and move and have our very being, not outside of God, but what? In so, creativity. You're living and moving in God. God's in you. Jesus is dwelling in you. The Holy Spirit is directing your life. And there can't be more creativity available than that. Wow. Do you think of yourself any way like that at all? Or you are saying, "Well, I won't have any problem. Oh, I can't do this. There's no way." or you may not be able to paint pictures like I do, or make poor recordings like I do. But you can do something that God has given only you the creativity to do. Now, are we this year, the only resolution, if it's called a resolution, the only thing you have to do is say that I'm going to put my creativity in the mix. You're going to be a part of the Adam. You're going to be a part of this congregation that is living and moving and having its being in Almighty God. And I'm going to put my little part into this until this becomes an active organism, you see, that's working and doing something as God has designed and created us to do and to be. Isn't it a wonderful thing to think about? Whoa. And let's just quit thinking about those stupid things. Just shut up about those crazy little things that have no value, no excellence about them. That we fight over, that we do this over and that over. Let's be more creative. And I'm not talking about changing God's Word. I'm talking about using God's Word to its fullest. Looking at it, reasoning about it, searching, finding out, and letting God talk to us about His creativity and what He has in store for us. Believing those things that He has in store for us. Those are wonderful things just to think about in themselves. That He can think about us and have something in store for us. There's a purpose in it. What time up? Okay, thank you. I don't have Gene's watch. Thank you. Well, I left it in my jewelry, which is a good place, isn't it? You can tell time that way. I'm getting old, I tell you, Gene. Yeah, join the club. Thank you for your attention this morning. I hope that's encouraged you, and you can put that foot forward to be creative and think about what we're going to be doing, no matter what it is. No matter what, we have to think of that, but I trust Russ. I trust he's going to lead us and guide us in ways that are according to God's will. Thank you very much.